WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning on this beautiful Tuesday near the end of October. And this is A Biblical Response. I'm David Francoeur, your moderator, host, whatever else, other appropriate titles are applied to my position. Excited team member as well. We'll get to our theme in a moment, but first I am always bound by tradition to introduce my co-host, the wonderful team, Keith Masters. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Man, I'm great. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, without him, things wouldn't really be working.
Amen.
Well,
I'm gonna say good morning to our brother Josh and his wife Camille.
Yeah.
Who I was speaking to on the way over here.
Cool.
And he said a prayer for us and for in the studio.
Thank you, Josh and Camille. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome and thanks for listening.
Amen. Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Josh and Camille,
And Camille, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll get to meet them someday.
As the Lord leads.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, the way you talk, I think they're great people.
They are.
So I like to meet great people.
They are.
So the next person, way down the other end of this not very long room, Stephanie Jacobson.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody out there today?
Oh, let's hope they're great.
Maybe
we offer something today that will lift you up
yeah.
or edify you.
Yes.
Right? Because edification is uplifting, but it may not initially be received as such. At least that's been my experience. And last, but again, always, never least, is Ann Lumhoko. Good morning.
Good morning. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
So, amen.
I know I say that all the time. That's kind of my tagline, but it really is a good way to put us in the proper mindset for each morning.
Yes.
That each morning is a blessing and that we should celebrate every morning he gives us, you know?
The attitude we have in the morning should not be managed by weather or by what you read in the news, which is some of the things we touch on here in the program.
Yeah.
Yes, but thank you. Keep that up as long as God wants you to do that. This morning, before I introduce the topic for the day, we can invite all of our listeners to join us in prayer. Many of you, probably speaking of the news, there's a Cat 5 hurricane heading toward Jamaica. It's already influenced some of the other Caribbean islands, and certainly once it goes devastatingly over Jamaica, it's only going to be a Cat 4, so according to the Weather Service. So other islands in that region are going to be drastically affected. We need to pray for all the people in the path of this hurricane. So if you'd please join me. Father God, we just lift up to you the island nation of Jamaica and all the other islands within the scope of this storm. Father, we would love to use Jesus' words in the midst of the storm. He and his disciples were on the lake, to stand up and say, "Peace, be still." And Father, we know that the Lord is speaking those words today. How you plan on moving in light of the words that have been and are being offered and will be offered in prayer for Jamaica and all the other affected islands, that is up to you. We trust you, Father. But we do lift them up because there are so many lives at stake. There is so much property that is about to be interacting with heavy, heavy winds and rain. Father, we just come before you. We petition you for your grace to flow ahead of the storm and during it. Save lives. That's the most important thing to us. Anything else can be rebuilt. but save lives. Provide places for people to go to be sheltered. And we pray for all of the emergency services that will be available, that they would be well-resourced, highly focused, and motivated, and able to do the job that they have been called to do. And Father, beyond this, we can only trust the Holy Spirit to pray for us, because we have no words, but we do have a faith in you, Father God, and the knowledge of your love for all people, and so particularly to claim today your love for the people in Jamaica and those other islands, that you would be there with them and carry them through this storm. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, what's been in the news, and it is every year at this time, is Halloween. And we came together, we talked about this, what it means, what it doesn't mean, what it shouldn't mean. We all have some thoughts, and we've put some prayer into this. We are probably going to inspire people in one direction or another concerning the positions we take on the holiday. I will tell you up front, we'll at some point I will invite your phone calls if you have a comment or a question. What I'll ask you to do is be succinct in expressing your position. We'll help you if we can't understand what you're saying. And then because of the time frame we're in, we'll have to move on to any other calls or to our conversation. So having said that, I'm going to throw this out to the person who's going to start us.
Yeah, thank you, David. So the question that we raised amongst ourselves was, should Christians be celebrating Halloween?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the topic for today. And we're not here to say you shouldn't or you should. We're actually here to just, I guess, bring awareness and to see what the Lord lays on your heart. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go into where Halloween originated, how it originated, and that was a while back, actually.
Before our time, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Halloween began as the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. Did I say that right? Samhain. Yeah, because it showed spelling on both E or A. So So I guess it's pronounced
Celtic in my seminary experience. So. You're close.
Nor did I.
Yeah.
And Samhain is an ancient pagan festival of the dead from Ireland and Scotland.
Yeah.
So that's how this all originated. It's a festival from the dead. It marked the end of the summer and the harvest seasons and the beginning of the darker half of the year, for them known as winter. And this gives Halloween the roots. This is where the roots originated from. These are the roots of Halloween. Because they used to go out at night and they used to set up bonfires for that night. They used to dress up in costumes.
And you know why they set up the bonfires? To kind of ward off the evil spirits.
Yes.
Because they were praying that they would have blessing on their harvest.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And just an FYI, the Celtics originated in, they originated in Central Europe around 1200 BC. Around 1200 BC. And so in the order of the Bible, in Scripture, this is a period of time during the Book of Judges. And Samson, during the Book of Judges. Gideon and Samson, Samuel. So it was during that time era that this was going on over in Europe.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that in. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And actually right now, that is part of right now that's known as Austria, Switzerland, and Germany.
Okay.
So, little known fact. So the Celts believed on the night before the new year, which is what their it was the new year for them because it's the end of harvest and it's the beginning of winter. So for them, it was a new year. And this came on October 31st. And the boundary between the worlds that they believed in, the worlds of the living and the dead, became blurred and the dead would return to earth as ghosts. I wonder what the Holy Spirit has to say about that.
Dear.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess people believe that the if I can insert this really
absolutely.
Quickly, believe that the veil between the physical and the spiritual was thinnest on October 31st.
Blurred, right?
So that's asked the Holy Spirit. Okay.
So did they come together? Then they were thinking that they came together.
Just for those tuning in.
Sorry.
For those tuning in right now, we are not expressing Christian theology at this point.
No.
We're talking about from the historical records of what the Celts believed.
Yes.
A couple thousand years ago.
Yep, they believed. All right.
Boy, I can see where that's morphed in what it is today.
Well,
it's just
I can see that.
You know, when you know the history behind something and, you know, bringing in those other facts that, you know, we don't really think about.
Right.
History is so important.
Absolutely.
I didn't like history. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole very far, but I didn't like history. And so I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. Now, my brother, on the other hand, he's like the historian of historians, but I didn't know anything. And so when I hear this, it just enlightens my view of what's going on now.
Right.
So, and thank you.
Yeah.
I just
absolutely,
throw that in there.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it ties it together
it
a little
does.
Bit.
It does. It's important.
Yeah.
We have to know the history of Halloween because it all morphed into what it is today.
Yeah, it's evolved.
So that's why
certainly.
We want to let our listeners
into
know.
Into a night of horror
that's
of ours.
The history's on everything, though. I've found that is one of those things that if you don't know the history, and it's not that you're just going to repeat yourself. It does happen that way. But it makes it rich, where the gospel rich when you know what the history is while the gospel is being played out in the, you know. So anyway, back to our
right, because that's going on
previously.
As this is going on one side of the earth, this is going on the other side of the earth, right?
Right, right. Two different realms, right?
Right, two different realms. And so, to commemorate the dead, the Celts would light bonfires, as I said before, and they would wear costumes to ward off the evil spirits. The holiday evolved over time, incorporating Christian influence and Christian influences, like All Saints Day. So as time progressed, the Christian influence came together with it. All Saints Day and All Souls Day.
Can I insert something?
Absolutely.
I want to talk about why Christianity and the church influenced Halloween. So I guess this is around AD 43. The Roman Empire had conquered most of the Celtic territory in Europe. So for the next 400 years, various Roman holidays and festivals designed to commemorate the passing of the dead and the harvest were combined.
Okay.
So kind of like the Pope in AD 590 to 604, it was Pope Gregory. He advised missionaries to Ireland and England not to do away with the religious holidays of the Celts and non-Christian peoples of the region, but rather to kind of appropriate or transition them. So they kind of tried to move it away from the pagan roots into a more Christian context.
Right.
So
isn't
that's how the Christianity got involved.
Isn't
I'm sorry
that
to interrupt.
What we're doing, though, now?
We're mixing.
Isn't that what we're doing now, though? It's the same thing. You don't want to offend. I mean, it's so crazy to watch this happen.
I don't understand that, but
I know. We're going to talk about
that. I do understand it, but I don't. But
you know,
sorry to interrupt,
I'm glad you did.
That.
Thank you, Ann. What just came to mind was when the Israelites went over to cross the Jordan, and they went into Israel, right? And the Lord told them to clean the slate, get the slate clean.
For their own good,
because
they could not
mix good,
with
that. So that nothing would be integrated into their believing of God, because they already had other idols in those lands, right? And the Lord told them, go in and clean the land. And this is exactly what happened with the Catholics,
mm-hmm. which was the only church back then. It was only the Catholicism that existed.
Right.
It was the church,
But it was a replay of God telling the Israelites, wipe everything out and clean the land, so you don't integrate false gods with me.
So what the church did there was kind of a Band-Aid. They did not obliterate the evil and tried to. They mixed it essentially.
Right.
With Christianity. So it's this mixed
culture.
And it's not, you can't mix
all of it.
Light
no.
and darkness don't mix.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I will, at this point, let me throw in a little something. In the 4th century B.C., or no, A.D., sorry. Okay. I need new glasses. All right.
That's okay.
In the 4th century, and again, this was the Catholic Church at that time. It was the only Christian church around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, someone who knows a better sense of history will probably write me a note and complain about what I just said, but fact was they were the major and dominant Christian religion back then. In the 4th century, they began to start feasts that commemorated all Christian martyrs, and they were held in various places, on various dates near Easter and Pentecost. In the 9th century, some churches in the British Isles began holding the commemoration of All Saints on November 1st. Mm-hmm. And, of course, All Saints, All Souls, that kind of thing. Now, mm-hmm. here's an interesting point I would like to throw in. In the beginning of all this, what they were celebrating was the witness of those who had served God, that were known to the people, the martyrs especially, who had given their very life for Christ. Mm-hmm. With celebrating that gift, their Christian witness. They weren't lifting them up as minor deities or anything like that, but they were setting them up, people that they were known lives. We could see they could see their example, and to celebrate their faith, mm-hmm. but also as a means of encouraging those who celebrated those lives to partake of the same grace, to make the same decision for Christ. Mm. Because in many, especially in those days, you know, you could be a martyr today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What has happened since then has been a morphing
yeah.
of that focus on the witness. Like today, and Keith, I've been with you many times. You shared your story, your witness, how you met Jesus, what you've done since then. I celebrate that. It's encouraged me. That's a great story. But I am not going to pray to you when you die.
Right.
Okay. I'm just saying. All right. And I don't want you to die anywhere
right.
soon. Okay. Please don't. But the point
neither
being,
do I.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I'm glad we're of one mind. But the point is that there were some legitimate reasons why the church created these holidays that were blessing to the people who were looking on the lives of these people that had gone before them.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much today. I'm just going to throw that in. Okay, Keith, go back to your...
Okay. Where were we here?
Well, we were talking about how it kind of morphed with
right,
Christianity.
Right, and, yeah. right. So, right. So the Christian, the Catholic Church brought that in together, mm-hmm. okay, with the Celtic, with the older Celtic traditions, as
right.
you just said, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get rid of them. They incorporated them.
Yeah.
And they merged them in together.
Yeah.
So the modern version with the children in costumes and going door to door for candy became widespread basically in the 20th century, particularly after World War II,
mm.
when it was a way to cure teenage pranks.
Yeah.
They called it trick-or-treat because the phrase is a playful ultimatum.
Mm.
Give us a treat or you'll get a trick,
mm.
a prank.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with souling, which is also came from the Celtic, okay, which started with souling. What they used
souling,
to do,
what do you
souling
mean? Yeah.
is
S-O-U-L?
S-O-U-L-I-N-G.
Interesting.
Right, and what they used to do in the Celtic is they used to go and knock door to door,
mm-hmm.
and they used to pray for the dead. Mm-hmm. They used to pray for the dead, and in return, those people that were praying for the dead that were knocking on the door used to receive something from the household.
Interesting.
So that was the souling that started in the Celtic tradition,
mm-hmm. oh.
and that's how the people started going knocking door to door.
Interesting.
And it transformed into all of this. So
can I ask a question?
Sure, sure.
What was the trick? If they didn't get the treat,
that's a good question. I don't, you know.
I don't either. But I have to look at that one.
Right. Let's, yeah. Right. Let's see what they
I never did see that. I guess the pranks. They were trying to. If you don't pray, then you get the prank, right? I mean,
right.
so
right.
they were trying to turn that. I don't know. I will tell you. I just as you're sitting here talking, I'm thinking. This is just the same fight we're fighting right now.
Yeah, right. you're right.
I mean,
right.
it has not changed at all. It's
right.
just, it's the same lies. It's the same this, you know, and the Christians kind of just follow along and they kind of do their own thing. And yet I do believe that we do know what the whole premise of Halloween is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit about
yeah.
about where things are going. But
and just to clarify real fast, that
yeah.
they would receive what they called soul cakes from those homes.
Oh, okay.
And the soul
oh,
cakes turned into candy. That's,
oh, my goodness.
That's how that moved around.
This
so,
is deeper than I
yeah.
thought.
Right,
and all
right.
my research, this is enlightening. Thank you for doing all this yes. research.
Good
job,
yeah,
Keith.
Soul cakes to candy.
Mm. Keith, thank you for going into depth there.
That's
I got more.
Well,
I got more. How much time do we have?
We have about 15 seconds
okay,
before
so
the break.
I just wanted to real fast. Jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah.
okay? Jack-o'-lanterns, okay? The faces were carved into vegetables back in the Celtic days. Faces were carved into vegetables, which started the legend of Stingy Jack, who was said to wander the earth with a burning ember inside a hollowed-out turnip.
Interesting. All right?
So to light his way as he went away, okay? When the Irish immigrants came to America, they started carving pumpkins because they were larger and easier to carve.
Well, there you go.
Wow, man. Yeah.
And the Irish came here because of the potato famine,
that's right.
What I read.
That's right. So, yeah. Right. And they were Catholics.
Yes.
There you go.
And they were Catholics, so that came to America.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And about the late 1800s.
That sounds.
But anyway, that was a great synopsis of the beginning of Halloween.
Yeah.
Maybe after the next break, we'll get into more of how it applies and for today.
We will. And after the break, we'll invite inviting phone calls if you have any comments or questions. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Welcome back to A Biblical Response. We are looking at the holiday of Halloween and where it came from, and we're going to be moving into where it is today.
Yeah.
And while the question is, should we celebrate the holiday? And we're not going to command you to do one thing or the other. We're giving you information so you can make an informed decision, prayerful decision.
Yeah.
With that, and by the way, if you do have a comment, the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. I will ask you to state your case succinctly so we can hear you, and then we'll move on. Anne.
I believe that's a phone call, David, or no?
It will come in here and ring.
Okay.
So go ahead.
I apologize. Well, I just kind of wanted to talk about how I feel, and I'm not pushing how I feel towards our listeners, but it's my own journey, because when I was a kid, I did go door to door, and I enjoyed going door to door. And even at college, at Indiana University, I remember dressing up and going to college parties and getting all dressed up, thinking innocently about the holiday, thinking it's a time to just wear nice costumes. It's a time to go to parties. It's a time to eat a lot of candy. But as I searched Holy Spirit about Halloween, then I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, this is something you, Anne, personally should not partake of. That's my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Halloween promotes is darkness, death, and fear. Mm. That's huge, because the Bible says that light does not mix with darkness. So as the Holy Spirit showed me things, I have gotten to the path where I don't even partake in alternative events. I don't have kids, so... Mm-hmm. I don't have kids. I don't have the pressure of kids probably on their mom and dad's lap and saying, Mom and Dad, I want to be like the others. I want to have candy. I'm telling I'm a single person. But the Bible says in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. So Holy Spirit said, do not partake of Halloween. There you go. And there comes a call. I will answer it right now.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Vero Beach, Florida.
Yes.
My name is Margaret, and I listened to your discussion about the Halloween, and this is really you know, other religion that God condemned, along with Jezebel and her bringing Balaam as her god. For Christians, as I know, the October 31st is the Reformation Day.
Yes.
It's a celebration of the day that Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to, based on the Bible,
Amen.
What he read, to discuss with the Catholic Church, which was going away from the biblical the word. So it's just, in my view, the Christians should absolutely not celebrate this deadly, diabolical Halloween, but remember the Reformation.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you for that.
That's why we have the Protestants coming back to the Bible.
Thank you, Margaret. And I will tell you that you just touched on a point that Stephanie's going to be developing later in the program.
Yeah,
so
thank you for that call. You just pushed
that.
Me right into my next my next thing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome, wonderful. Margaret.
You know, I'm your faithful listener.
You are.
So, you know, it's just I listen today to do as well.
Awesome.
Well, thank you,
dear.
We love you, kiddo. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. I love you, too.
God bless you.
God bless you, Margaret.
Wow, that's good.
Well,
fantastic.
Maybe the Holy Spirit is telling us to talk about.
Yeah.
We
maybe
were going to talk
over.
Later,
let's
but Margaret
and,
sort of,
you know,
yeah, no,
led
that's
us
great.
In another direction.
Let's just go right there right
so
now.
So let's go right there, yeah.
That is an act of God right there.
I believe.
That is an
thank
act
you,
of
Margaret.
God.
Yeah,
thank
Margaret.
You, Margaret.
Just, listening so that the just,
Lord.
Yeah, just so that the listeners understand this.
Yeah.
Because Stephanie did research on the Reformation.
Yes.
And we were going to bring this into the conversation today. So this was, if you want to understand how the Lord is working, this is how the Lord works. Because he just the Lord just introed Stephanie's
he just put the
research.
Spotlight right on
it. Yeah,
tell us about,
awesome.
Tell us about Reformation.
That was awesome.
I can do that. One of the things that as I was looking at this yesterday, you know, it's hard to ignore the major holidays like Halloween. We can't. And so when I think of Valentine's Day, I think of love and hearts and, you know, good overall feelings. But when I think of Halloween, you know, you were giving your personal perspective on things.
Yeah.
When I think of Halloween, I think of darkness and bad and dare I say, evil, right? So the connotation is opposite of what God would want us to be thinking. Well,
absolutely.
That one of the things that we want to try to tell the listeners, and I loved Margaret's comment because it shows us that people do know history, and that is a good thing that our listeners do know. But for those of those that don't, there is an alternative here. This was not necessarily something that came out of Halloween, but it actually happened on October 31st.
Yes.
And that was back in 1517, so the 16th century. But it was when Martin Luther, who was a monk, he was known for two things that was two big things. The first one was that he sparked the Protestant Reformation from what was the church. It was a split in the church because he was going by what the church had put out for or laid up for their teaching was for good grief, what is the word that I'm looking for?
The penances? Are you talking about the penances?
Indulgences.
Yes, yeah, that was it. So the indulgences, the belief was the acts of indulgence had to become for the living and for the dead. It wasn't just, you know, repenting of your sins. It was giving over to do something that could help relieve the sin that had been committed.
Let me clarify really quickly, if you don't mind, Stephanie.
Sure.
So I come from Catholicism. So mm-hmm. the indulgences were things that people paid, the Catholics paid to the priests / Pope in return for prayers or something. So it was a favor that they gave
it
to the...
It was favor. And
yes.
it didn't always have to be money.
Yes.
It was deeds of acts mm-hmm. or deeds.
Yes.
Right. And so that was what sparked this was... Martin Luther was doing a deed, which was he was crawling up this holy stairs on his knees mm-hmm. and for his indulgence. And all of a sudden, the Lord just discerned something for him. He was a monk, so he knew the scriptures. And it was the scripture was out of Hebrews 1:17, and mm-hmm. it's the just shall live by faith. That right there, and he did not know that it was going to put a split in the church. I mean, that was, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Yeah.
And so
it's actually already, the foundations of that split were already there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was the beginning. He was part of the discontent, but he wasn't the first one to do this. And there were others, this has been going on for a little while, but he did. God used this to...
Used him.
To mm-hmm. used him to make that very evident.
And so he went home and wrote a thesis or the paper mm-hmm. that he nailed to the wooden door at the chapel door in Wittenberg, Germany.
Mm.
It's called the 95 Theses. And if you haven't read or don't know about his story, there are ways to do that. You can Google it. But I would really encourage you to go... read a book called Luther by Eric Metaxas.
I was just going to say that. Yep.
Book that, he nailed those to the door on October 31st, 1517. It was the same message of Christ and Christ crucified that Paul talked about in the New Testament. There isn't anything that we can do to absolve our own depravity before a holy God except faith. That's what God
putting
calls us to, is putting faith in God. And that was what the discernment was that here we were paying indulgences or doing things.
To earn, right?
To earn our salvation.
Yeah.
And it was definitely an enlightening moment for him. And at that point, he essentially started running for his life. And it was his... You know, that was his full life was running. But then he realized that, you know, the Bibles that he had been reading were in Latin, and mm-hmm. they were in the Catholic Church, chained to the podiums. Not only were they kind of inaccessible to mm-hmm. the people, the everyday average person.
Yeah.
They were also they were very expensive to make, so that no one could just go out and buy one.
Yep.
And also, they were in Latin. So he then transcribed it into German. And so when that happened, then the everyday average person could have one of those Bibles. And, you know, we have Bibles. I have 4 or 5 Bibles in my house today.
Yeah, we all do.
Where we all think that that's just how it should be, right? So... an alternative way of thinking about Halloween, if you don't want to think about, or if you want to teach your children something that is different than
what children. Yeah.
Right. So that's a little background there, but thank God. Thank you, Jesus, that you put that into his heart so he could then, you know, a lot of times I'll have a thought about something, not all the time, but I have a thought once in a while, but I'll have a thought about something and I have to think, is that from you, God? What was he thinking at that moment? I had to put myself in his spot on that.
Martin Luther?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, how did that thought get taken captive in his own mind of what does that even mean? And I'm sure he probably had to ponder it for a while. And if you, David, you said that, go ahead.
No.
You were saying that the crack had already been the founding.
I mean, there was unrest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was.
Well, God was only accessible to the people through the priests at that point in time, right?
In general,
That's what they were led to believe.
The sacrament of confession, where you know you would go to the priest and you would confess, and you know you get absolution.
And it cost you a dollar.
The point is, that actually doesn't charge for that, actually, but. But and the heart of that, though, is a legitimate response to God's grace when you know you've sinned.
Yeah.
Is you need to go to God.
Yeah.
And the problem in the separation between Protestant and Catholicism, mm-hmm. the one thing that Protestants as a whole didn't take with them in the split is the thing of going to someone for confession.
Yeah.
And yet we do know, and there's so much history about how people sharing their concerns with somebody else because they need help. They need a third party to talk to.
Yeah.
So the legitimate part is that I can go to God. You can go to God directly on
Absolutely.
Your knees in your prayer closet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can open your heart to God, and God, you know, God trust. God knows your heart. But it's also sometimes God will lead, and he's done it for me, mm-hmm. lead me to somebody I can trust.
Yeah.
Because I need another loving God person, because I got a barrier between me hearing God, just myself. And
yeah.
God will send me to someone I know and love, a brother, sister mm-hmm. in Christ, who's a praying person. And so there's something about that interaction where then God uses them mm-hmm. to help me hear what I couldn't hear on my own.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened many times in my life. The problem was, of course, in doctrinally, that only the priest
yeah.
could not just hear the confession but grant absolution. But yeah.
And it was only up to the priest to interpret what the word said. So
yeah.
they had to rely on the priest, because a lot of these people were not also unread. They didn't understand Latin.
They were not educated.
But thanks to Martin Luther, yeah. then as a result, then it was translated into many languages, as Stephanie said. So.
And consider, now we're still on this topic.
Yeah.
And the subject we're now at is, you know, how God moves to edify people. Mm-hmm. And get them back on the right track. And he did, Martin Luther. He used that and many other reformers for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of misunderstanding. And when you have a people that are basically illiterate, depending on someone who can read to tell them what's going on
mm-hmm.
and interpret. But here's the thing. Luther, God opened up Martin, and not just him, but he's the lightning rod for Reformation. God showed him the truth in God's word about faith. And when he read that, when he saw, when God showed him what he wanted him to know, everything that the church had established that allegedly would enable a person to be edified and to be saved, every institutional process, if you will, like indulgences.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that invalidated all of that, because the core theology is that we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in faith to Christ. And it is only in Christ that we have our salvation.
Absolutely.
Amen. And you can't buy it. You can't do enough acts to acquire it. You only get it when you come to Christ.
Can I?
And the finished work on the cross.
Right, absolutely. And the finished work on the cross.
When you said Reformation, David, you said Reformation. Stephanie said it earlier. It's like Holy Spirit is completely highlighting that word. What Martin Luther did back then in the 1500s, and he knew that he was putting his life on the line when he did what he did, Stephanie mm-hmm. and Keith and oh, David. Yeah. He knew he was going up against the church, and the church was powerful. Stephanie had alluded to how he was running for his life. Who are the Martin Luthers of today, where we may see things in the church that is wrong, but are we calling out the difficult things? You know what I mean? We need reformation in this country, and that is my prayer. I know that everyone in this studio mm-hmm. is praying for reformation, because what we're seeing, unfortunately, there have been things that have gotten into the church, and we need to be the Martin Luthers of today. Do you guys agree?
But where did the Reformation come from with Luther? He knew yeah. the scripture.
Absolutely.
He knew the scripture.
The Bible, yes.
Yep. And we're scripture illiterate in this nation.
Yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm putting myself in it as well, but that is one thing that I've made up my mind that I am trying to do, is to learn more of the scripture.
I don't think you're illiterate, but you're just you're learning more and more. Because I've heard you talk to me about the Bible. You know more than you think. But
maybe.
But here's one thing before we go to break. You can get easily duped by false doctrine, it says in the Word, if you don't know the Word of God. So what Stephanie made as a good point is you need to know the Word of God.
And that still keeps us on track for talking about Halloween as a holiday. And
we'll bring scripture on the
essence of the celebration today. Well, let's go to that break we've been talking about. Listener, you can still call in. We get back. We'll enjoy your call. 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
From your sleeping and run to the tomb. Come and see, he is alive. A grave that is empty, a promise fulfilled. God who was with us is here with us still. He is here, he is here, he is alive. Alleluia. Chains have been broken, abandon your shame. Lift your heart, lift your heart. He is alive. Hear now his mercy embracing your soul. Hear the fulfillment that once was foretold. It is true, it is true. He is alive. To the darkness of night, tell the world, he is alive. Hear the good news of this glorious day. Every heart singing as heaven proclaims, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is alive.
Welcome back to A Biblical Response in the latter portion of the program for today on this beautiful Tuesday as we get ready to just chew through the rest of October. And we're chewing on, speaking of chewing, we're chewing on Halloween right now, and I'm going to go back to Keith.
Yeah, thank you, David. So we started with the origins of Halloween and where that, how that evolved into what it is today. And we've also discussed from the caller, from Margaret's call, right, introducing the Reformation, which the Lord used Martin Luther to bring God to the public, right, to bring God to the public and the trials on that day of October 31st.
Right. Yeah,
timing. So timing, right? So that's what we've been discussing, and that's what we've been talking about. And with Halloween, the word hallow is a holy word. It means to be holy. So to bring this back, right? So you have you also have the Hallow app. That's the prayer app.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Hallow. Yeah, and it's an app on your phone for Hallow. Hallowed app.
It's a prayer. Yeah.
Right. And if you look up the definition of hallow, it means to make holy. It's the primary meaning is to make something or someone holy. Mm-hmm. And when we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, Hallowed be thy name. And that is from God. That is God who is holy, holy God, as Stephanie lets us know who he is. He's holy, right? God is holy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Can't even stand in his presence, right? How amazing.
Holiness.
Holiness, right. And then with Moses, when Moses from Exodus 3:5, the Lord said to Moses, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. That is hallowed ground. That is hallowed ground. And in the book of Joshua, in Deuteronomy, excuse me, the Lord your God, as he promised, he will put the terror. Oh, no, excuse me. Joshua 5:15. Mm-hmm. I went to someplace else
that's
real
okay.
fast.
No problem.
Sorry, Joshua. That's for 5 minutes down the road, right? That's for 5 minutes down the road. All right.
That's okay, what we do.
We get in front of the Lord, right? That's what we do sometimes. In Joshua, Joshua 5:15, when Joshua met the angel in front of him, and he said, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. And that is hallowed ground. And so now they use the word Halloween. I don't know what ween comes from.
It's a version of the word Eve. It was All Hallows Eve.
Ween is from Eve.
Is from the Old English.
Okay, from the All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. All right. And this is what they've turned it into. So I know that, Stephanie, that you had an event on Halloween. You went to a church.
Experience,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is an event, right?
Yeah. Well, right? A lot of the churches and a lot of the places do an alternative thing now. They try to give safe places for kids to go and be, you know, I think it started with the fire departments actually used to do it.
Okay.
And so they would just have the kids come there and then they didn't have to go to house.
Yeah.
Well, the churches have kind of caught on to that and now they do a lot of things called trunk or treats.
Yep.
And I'm perfectly honest. This is just out there. I was rolling my eyes thinking that I was going to have to go and serve at this because I just don't like to do Halloween. And so I went and I served and we gave out little Jesuses and gave out tracts and Bibles and things like that at the church that I attend. And, you know, I was still rolling my eyes in the back of my head. Nobody could see it, but I wasn't there because I wanted to be there. I was there because I needed to be there.
And you were asked to be there, right?
I was. It was part of serving. And so
yes.
I was at the prayer tent. My pious little self was at the prayer tent. So, you know, all the trunks are very fun. They're not anything evil. And so that was a good thing. But I left as soon as I could possibly leave. That was last year. And about 2 months ago, I got a call from my pastor and said, would you follow up on this email that we got? And it's someone that's looking to talk to somebody about salvation. And I said, sure, I'll talk to her. And so I called her and she said, or I texted her and when can you meet? And she said, this afternoon. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. So she came to the church and we sat outside. She had her little girl with her. And her story, I'll try to condense it really fast here. It's a very long story because we were there for over 2.5 hours.
Wow.
But the reason that she called our church, she had come the weekend before. And I asked her, I said, how long have you been coming here? And she said, just this last weekend. I said, what made you come to the church? And she said, I was at the trunk or treat last year.
Oh, wow.
For her daughter, she brought her daughter at the trunk or treat. And she said, I just felt home. And she said it was such a welcoming experience. And I said, my eyes, I hope my face did not look shocked, but I was like, oh, no, God, I'm so sorry, you know, because he had used something that I detest and I really don't like. Mm. But he had used it to bring this person to that campus to feel. And you know what? She had her Bible that she went out and bought after she left our campus. She had her Bible, and looking at her scripture, she had it marked up more than I had in my Bible. She'd taken her a whole year.
Hungry.
And so she'd come to the place where she knew that she needed to confess her sins. And she came. And I'm telling you, it was the most amazing. That's only been about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And since then, she's come back. And she's actually, the next Sunday, we were able to talk, and she got baptized. And then her and her fiancé, or they weren't even a fiancé at the time, they got married. And so I mean, it's just like one thing after another that it's like, Lord, you're the one that brings the change. Mm-hmm. All we can do is put the kindling out there so that people can feel the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But then they are able, then he is able then to work in their hearts when they're, you know, and it was trunk or treat, guys. It was it was not the event that I would have chosen to really speak the gospel. But I'm going this year with a different kind of attitude about it. And
because you don't know what God's going
to
do.
I don't, and I like to be excited about what God is.
That event.
He did.
Where people could see, like, for me, I'm like, okay, I maybe am like you in thoughts, but the Lord is humbling me because the alternative to me, but look how the Lord used it.
It was.
So,
it was an
I guess
eye
keep
opener.
An open mind regarding that. And search the Holy Spirit, too.
Absolutely.
Because he could absolutely. Because a lot of churches do that so that their friends who don't know the Lord can also come with them and listen to the gospel.
And there is another side to this with the evil part of it. There are a lot of people that were brought up in culture that is evil, and this Halloween is used to incorporate, you know, sacrificing and all kinds of things. So on the other side of that, I'm from Missouri, and my cousin called me on the way down here when I was on the way to the studio just now, and one of the things that she said to me just broke my heart, because I'm thinking we don't understand what we're doing. I mean, we know what we're doing, but you don't understand the depth if when we do these things that are evil. So she told me that there was a house up there by her that had put babies all the way around their fence that were, you know, their naked babies. Well, they were sacrificing babies. And I'm thinking, Lord,
goodness.
There is such a difference in the culture. You know, this one was used to bring eternity to that, you know, this trunk or treat was to bring eternity to these people. That's our attitude, right? This person's attitude is sacrificial, the sacrificing of life. And so the only sacrifice that we should be thankful for is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
And that we can bring the news and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. So just keeping that in mind as October 31st comes around, or your trunk or treat at your church or whatever, just always having that mindset of Jesus.
Right. And you know, just as, you know, because not everything's going to change overnight, and we know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to share here, one of the things that I was doing was I would call it track or treat, right? I would hand out tracks as the kids came to the door for the candy. So I would give out tracks of the Lord with candy, you know.
Right.
Just so, and you know, they
and they could show it to their parents.
They could show it to their parents, and it's a nice track. You know, it's the love of Jesus. Or, you know, our what's the, where I live?
Delray.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think the section that I live in. What do they call?
Oh gosh, we couldn't help you there.
No,
Keith.
No, not the side. Yeah, no.
Keith, it's Master's Land, right? It's Master's.
Just say your neighborhood.
Yeah, the neighborhood. There you go. What they do is they go down to the driveway so that everybody just walks along the sidewalk.
Oh, so people don't have to go
door to door. So people don't have to go door to door. And I guess they get more houses that way, too, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, that's one way to look at it.
It's a lot of numbers, right?
One way to look at it, you get more houses. But since I'm out on the street and I have my signs that says Jesus loves you, I put the sign out at the table that Jesus loves you.
Good.
And I'm amazed. Yeah, this isn't about that, but I'm amazed at how many kids actually say Jesus loves you too.
Wow. Cool.
It's a response that they come back with so that they do know the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, well,
so,
I'm sorry, Keith.
Just to share that.
Time's running out, right, and I need to wrap some things up here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I need to segue back to the Reformers for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the Lord told me there's a few nitpickers out there listening in who are going to say, probably send me a note and say, you didn't mention the other Reformers. You're just talking about Luther. So I'm going to do that because mm-hmm. there were other. He had contemporaries. He was in Germany, but John Calvin in France. Everyone's heard of John Calvin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ulrich Zwingli in Switzerland was also contemporary. Philip, and I hard to pronounce this. Okay, he was a close associate of Luther. Philip Melanchthon. Melanchthon, I can't. First time I ever had to pronounce that name. Thomas Cranmer in England. Johannes Bugenhagen, another German theologian. So there were several. Luther, I've said to this group, maybe I said it on the air, he's a lightning rod for the Reformation movement, but there were others. But I also earlier had said that he wasn't doing this all alone. There was a lot of the changing attitudes in the continental Reformation, but Cranmer was actually in England. So the English Reformation and King Henry VIII is part of that because of his throwing the Pope out of England. And that's another story for another program.
Mm-hmm. That's a history lesson.
Yes.
That's a history lesson.
It's a history lesson. Yeah. And we do go into history from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that during the program, listeners, you've been encouraged to consider the Halloween holiday and how you can Christianize it. How you can be a part of in your home, in your church. Maybe there's some churches that haven't addressed it at all. But to bring Christ into the season again, and to see, therefore, and I think what God wants to do is a wholesale reformation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to speak for our nation, but I think it's worldwide, of how the church celebrates Christ in all the venues. It's a great venue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, I just felt like I had to add that, you know, in closing.
So do I have time? I'm going to read Philippians 4:8 right here that Paul writes.
Well, Keith, you asked me if you have time. I need to give you an answer.
Oh, okay.
He's going to go on and read it, you know. No, it's 11:57 and 35 seconds. At 11:59 and 15 seconds, we have to say goodbye.
Okay. So it says, Paul writes to us out of the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. It says, he writes, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Mm. And in verse 4:9, we read, Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen. Amen.
So over that day.
I just want to say really quickly that people need to ask Holy Spirit what the Spirit is telling them to do. You had mentioned the phrase Christian is Halloween, which kind of bothered me because I and myself won't even take part in anything Halloween. That's what the Spirit's telling me to do. I won't go. And so Christianizing Halloween, I'm sorry, David, it just bothered me, that phrase, where I don't even want to take part in it at all. But others, like, look, Stephanie gave a great story about how the Lord used trunk and treat. Mm-hmm. So I just say to our listeners, ask Holy Spirit how to go forward and what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do.
Okay. It's all right. Well, if you don't want to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it for both of us.
Yeah.
Because God wants, what does God in but transformation?
Yeah.
Transform me. He can transform holidays so that they honor him again.
Yes.
And that's really where it's all about. Well, God bless you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.